Apex what? Fort what? Now there's finally a Battle Royale game that's worth your time. Plus, Activision Blizzard lays off 800 after their best year ever. Why? Tonight is February 17th, 2019, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's me. All Battle Royale'd out. That's all I've been playing is Battle Royale. Me playing Battle Royale. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Battle Royale edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show. This is where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on Twitch. Join us in our chat room. Like us. Subscribe. Do stuff. We'll read all that at the end of the show. But during the show, I'll be trying to read intelligent comments. So if you have some intelligent comments, which I know you do, I know you guys are smart. You guys can do it. All you got to do is be in our chat room. I'll be trying to read those throughout the night. If you want to call in a little bit later, I'm going to tell you how to do that. Go to Discord, our Discord. We have a Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is your invite. In about 45 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes or so, I'll start looking in here. We have a Green Room voice chat channel. You're going to want to sit in there. That way I kind of know you're there. And then in the Bobby Blackwell Show text channel, put in what you want to call in about. So we'll be doing that in the second half of the show. Or if you're listening on the podcast feed, you're still just as valuable. And you can leave a comment on our episode over at VogNetwork.com when this episode goes up. And or you could just leave a comment in our Discord in the Bobby Blackwell Show channel. And sometimes I'll even read those. So if you don't want me to read your comment, let me know. And then I won't. But, you know, if you want it, I'll default to you agreeing to have your comment read on the air. Awesome. So let's talk about the first thing that everybody's talking about. It's as Tiger Claw said in our chat room, it's the Battle Royale game that's sweeping the nation. I'm not so sure about that as much as I wish it was. As much as I wish that it was sweeping the nation, it probably is for a little bit. But I don't – we'll see. Talk to me in a couple months. Let's see how far down Apex Legends goes down, and how far down Fortnite, and how far down PUBG. Let's wait. But there was a Nintendo Direct this week, and they dropped the bombshell of Tetris 99, which is the 99th iteration of Tetris. No, it's not. I'm lying. It's a very interesting Tetris clone. So it's a battle royale version of Tetris. So it's multiplayer Tetris, but you're playing against 99 people. So this is truly the 1 versus 100 that we always wanted since Xbox Live shut theirs down. It truly is. Except instead of trivia, you're building walls. That's what you're doing. So it was a free download for people that already were Nintendo Switch Online subscribers. So now you can only play this game with that online subscription, and it's free. So instead of just Netflix, you can play this as well as all those NES games, which also have an online component. You can play those online. Tetris, not one of those titles. So this one, it basically everybody starts at the same time, 99 players at the same time. I don't know why it's not 100. Only Nintendo knows why they can't do 100. I guess the Nintendo Online server stops at 99. And everybody's playing Tetris. And you decide who you are going to attack when you clear lines. So every time you clear more than one line, you send garbage to someone else. And you actually can select who you want to attack. You can say, I want to attack random people or people with the most KOs or the people with the most badges or the people that are attacking you. And you select that and then you play. And then as you kill people, KO people, I guess. I don't know if we're allowed to say kill in this because you can't say kill in Splatoon. You got to say splat because this is Nintendo. But as you KO people, you get a badge. But you also get all of their badges. So you can rack up a whole bunch of badges. If you KO someone who KO'd a bunch of people, you get all their badges, and then everybody starts attacking you. So there's a big target on your back. It is a lot of fun, and this is just one mode. There were some data miners that went through and said, hey, we found some other modes, which I – when I stream this, and I stream this on Twitch, and if you're listening on the podcast feed, you can go to the VOG Network page, and I'll have the embed of it so you can see me playing it. And getting a whopping eighth place one time out of 99. I also got like 80th place in one playthrough. It was really terrible. And I went through and I'm like, oh, here's the stats page. It says all in Tetris 99. I'm like, why would you split them up? Well, it turns out there, I think some data miners found like there's going to be team modes coming in. Because right now you can't play with your friends. Like, it doesn't matter if you have my friend code or not. We can't like play together or be in the same session. I can't attack you specifically as much as I would want to. And so I do enjoy it, and there is going to be more to it. I actually got my highest. I've played it a bunch of times on stream, and I played it one time not on stream. I just had it up, and that's when I got fifth place, which is my highest score ever. I have never won at all, but I've gotten eighth place on stream and fifth place where you can't believe me, even though I did actually save it. Like, I saved the video and a screenshot to my Switch, but I didn't do it in front of anybody, so does it really count? The Break Man says, Bobby has been taking badges and walking on the corpses of his enemies. That's right. Also, on the Nintendo Direct, they did announce Super Mario Maker 2, which I was glad about seeing, because I wonder how it's going to work without the touchscreen, because I really was very used to the touchscreen with Super Mario Maker. But Johnny Woofy in our chat said, my brother and I were talking about Mario Maker coming to Switch, and now I'd buy it again only if it came with the Angry Sun. An hour later, Mario Maker 2 was announced. And I think it doesn't have the Angry Sun in it? I thought they showed a lot of stuff, but not like... not as much that I hadn't seen before. So, like, I'm hoping that it's not just, you know, a reskin of the Wii U version. I think I hope it's more of a worthy purchase if you didn't have if you had the Wii U version. And Dark Tootsie says, yes, the sun is in it. Angry Sun is in. Nice. I'm happy. But, you know, maybe some different game types. They only showed the same game, like the same background games that we had before. You know, like you had your Mario and your Mario 3 and your Wii U one. So maybe we'll get something more, like Mario 2 or Metroid. Super Mario 3D Land is a new theme for the game. Okay, well, if that's, he thinks that. Now, that's rumors. Is that really plausible? I don't like rumors and speculation, so I'm not going to be like speculating on what's there. I'm going to wait for them to tell me what's there, because it's coming out in just a couple months. Questbuster says, this Direct was great. Nintendo was like, oh, we heard you really didn't want to hear about games for next year, so here's everything this year and available right now. No Metroid Prime 4. No Animal Crossing. They did show Link's Awakening, the Game Boy Zelda game, which was actually pretty cool. They showed that, and it's got a neat little art style. And I'm looking forward to seeing that one. I probably won't get it because I never really did finish. I have it for the Game Boy, and I haven't really finished it much there. And I haven't finished Breath of the Wild. I'm a terrible Zelda gamer. I'm so sorry. Tiger Claw also mentions they announced new Star Fox content for Starlink. So they got to save some things for E3. I know Orange Wright is correct on that. So, yeah, so the Nintendo Direct was, like, rumored, and then it actually happened. And if it didn't happen, people would have been upset, even though, like, Nintendo never actually said it was going to happen until pretty late. But I was actually kind of happy. And they also released some other demos. There are three demos, or two demos, that were on the store. One's, like, this mech game. from I can't remember which studio, but it's not necessarily a first party title. And then there was the Yoshi's Crafting World, the first level for it. So those were kind of cool to play through and find all that stuff. I never finished Woolly World. I've got it, and we never did finish it. But maybe one day I'll retire and get to play all these games. So there was some other news that happened this week that that was actually sent to me. This first one was sent to me on my Discord channel, actually. And it's about Beat Saber players in VR being too fast, and how people have had to work around it, and what Valve had to do. Road to VR reports an interesting case of software pushing the limits of hardware. Valve recently updated the Steam VR tracking code to account for the high speed of high-level Beat Saber players. So we're talking the players that play on Expert Plus, and they're just flinging their arms around really a whole lot. It might not be apparent, but Beat Saber is an excellent challenge for a VR controller tracking system. So you might think that a fast-paced VR shooter or sword fighting game would be the game that would be pushing it to its limits, but Beat Saber is actually far more demanding. In a recent update to the Steam VR beta, which will soon roll out to the main branch for everybody, the patch note says, quote, increased limits of what we thought was humanly possible for controller motion based on tracking data from Beat Saber experts, unquote. And then Valve developer Ben Jackson offered up some detail in the comments. He said, quote, the tracking system has internal sanity checks to identify when things go wrong. For example, if our math says you are behind your only base station, we made a mistake because we wouldn't be getting any signal from behind the base station. One of those checks relates to how fast we thought it was physically possible for someone to turn their wrist. Turns out that a properly motivated human losing a light enough controller could go faster than we thought, 3,600 degrees a second, unquote. So Valve built a number of assumptions into the Steam VR tracking code, so I can identify clearly erroneous data like a controller signaling that it's moving way faster than should be possible. But one of those assumptions was actually too low for the speed of some high-level Beat Saber players. Most VR tracking systems, just to kind of explain what's going on here, use two tracking methods and combine them together. The first method is an IMU inside each controller. And what it does is it actually senses rotation and translation. So it can do this with very low latency and high frequency. So it knows if you're rotating the controller, and it knows if you're moving it around in 6 degrees of freedom, which, by the way, Kaijudo, Kaijudo asked on the last call, he's like, I don't understand what 6 degrees of freedom is. What it is, it's front, back, left, right, up, down. Those are your 6 degrees of freedom. I think it's an aviation term. I think that's where it actually comes from. So it wasn't invented for this, but that's what your 6 degrees of freedom are. And you combine those to get where you are in real space. So the issue is that this is prone to drift. If you've ever used a PlayStation VR, you know what drift is. So it can't be relied upon alone for tracking. So this is where the other method comes in. So that's these external base stations, which are put in the corners of your room. So if I actually, like, for the people on Twitch, if I move, you can actually see my other one of my base stations right there. And now I've messed up my camera. This is why I shouldn't do that live. It's not made to do that. Sorry, podcast listeners. So the base stations are used to establish the absolute position and rotation of the tracked object and to correct for the drift. But they update slowly compared to how fast you can do it in here. It's in the ballpark of 100 hertz to 1,000 hertz between the slow and the fast ones. So in many cases, the moment is aided by prediction. So like they know if you're going this way with the controller, it's reasonable that you're going to keep going. And then once you stop, it thinks you still are keeping going. And then when you come back, it will snap back to where you're supposed to be. And what's been happening is that it's predicting that you're continuing going this way when really the person has gone this way because they're going so fast playing Beat Saber that it can't keep up. And so expert players are missing notes because of Steam VR. So they fixed that. because it was the hardware was capable of tracking faster. They just thought no human would move that fast. So congratulations, Beat Saber, for showing us what is humanly possible. So that's the technical side of what happened and why Beat Saber players are inhuman and why it sucks, but this is why mod makers only make Expert Plus charts for their songs for Beat Saber, because obviously the only people to play Beat Saber are the people that can move their wrists quicker than Steam VR can track them. Fifth Dream Today asks, is this a problem on PSVR? Probably. The reason it might not have been seen on PSVR is because the modded Expert Plus tracks don't exist on PlayStation VR. So you can't even play these songs on PlayStation VR. But PlayStation VR kind of has the same thing where they have the same they have the thing inside that detects this at low latency, and then they've got the camera that watches the little light ball at the end with the PlayStation Move controllers. So it's not as accurate as the Vive system with the base stations, but it checks on itself. Not all the time, because you can still have drift and it doesn't realize where front is on the headset. And there's a lot of issues with drift on the PlayStation VR. Tiger Claw says, so are they speedrunning Beat Saber? You can't speedrun Beat Saber because it's a music game. Like, nobody's going to beat a 3-minute song quicker than anybody else. It's still a 3-minute song. So that's the VR news. See, now you can stop drinking, because there's a lot of people that are drinking this week because they're trying to figure out what actually happened. And that's this week is Activision Blizzard. This was a sad story, and it was really weird trying to watch. You know, it was watching the dichotomy, and the short version. I'm going to be quoting parts of a Polygon article here. Is about Tuesday afternoon, Activision Blizzard laid off 800 employees, so about 8% of their workforce. At the same time, they were on a shareholders meeting with their quarterly results and yearly financial results, and said it was their most profitable year ever. They had done the best. 2018 was the best year in Activision's history. And now we're laying off 800 people. And everybody's like, wait, I don't understand. And I even was like, wait, I don't understand. Activision made $7.5 billion in sales and $1.8 billion in profit last year. But in the eyes of management, the success wasn't enough to keep the entire company employed. So why is this? And also, it didn't help that all the executives were remorseless, except for Blizzard president J. Allen Brack, who expressed regret. So wanted to mention that in there. So me, a non-business person, didn't really understand. And I am thankful I do have a day job, and I've got a lot of great people at my day job that like talking to me for whatever reason. They're weird. I don't know. And one of them is actually our financial guy. He's one of the C-level people in our company. We're a small company, so I still know all the people at the top. And he's really big into numbers, and he's really big into financials and business stuff, and he's got all this sense. And I'm like, hey, man, can we talk for a second about something not about work? He's like, absolutely, because he loves talking about numbers. And so I kind of laid out, he doesn't know anything about the game industry. He plays mobile games. That's about it. So he doesn't know anything about game industry. And so I told him that it was about Activision Blizzard. And he's like, well, I'm not going to look up anything because, you know, I don't want to like have that taint anything until we talked. So we spoke. And I was like, so why could this happen? Why could this happen where they're saying it's a record year, they've never done better, and we're going to lay off 8% of our workforce at the exact same time? And he's like, well, there is some reasons. And the part that he told me that really clicked in my head, where it was my aha moment, was he said, business isn't about what happened, it's about looking forward to what's next. And so what Blizzard Activision is saying is, yes, we had a record year in 2018. And that's why we had all these people employed in 2018. We aren't going to have that in 2019. That's not going to happen. So We need to prepare for that. Now, one thing to note is he then brought up his stock software and looked at their stock, and it soared after the layoff announcement. Investors were happy. Shareholders were so happy with the results of the call and what they were doing to make sure that 2019 was also profitable. And Questbuster even fills in, ATVI stock actually went up following the layoff news on top of an increased dividend and stock buyback program. And they said that 2019 was a transition year for the company. So, the Breakman says, yes, while the CEOs make bank, which is true because Bobby Kotick, the CEO, no relation, because I know we're both Bobbies, but no relation, trust me. He has a big bonus. They just hired a CFO with a big signing bonus. Even if they took a cut of their bonus like Satoru Iwata did at Nintendo, it probably wouldn't have stopped these layoffs. And here's why. And the Polygon article goes into this as well. I'm going to summarize it. I'm not going to read directly from it. But you got to realize that a lot of stuff's gone in 2019 that they used to have in 2018. Because the 800 people they laid off, they were not what Activision Blizzard calls developers. And by developers, they mean programmers, artists, designers, stuff, people that are directly involved with making a video game, directly involved in creating that executable file that you run from whatever launcher or whatever console. That's a game developer. The 800 people, none of those people were any of that 800. So nobody that actually creates the actual thing that goes into your video game got laid off. Who they laid off were all the people around the video game, the people that did the community management, the marketing, the esports side. A lot of the esports people were laid off. So a couple of things happened that basically required people to be laid off because they had no work for them. And that's not that I'm going through this, and I want you to realize I don't necessarily agree with people being laid off. It sucks. I wish there was another way. I don't know if there's another way. I'm not a business person. But this is why they wound up laying people off. One of them was because of Bungie. Because, as you know earlier, Bungie and Activision split, and Destiny 2 went to all Bungie. Activision has nothing to do with it anymore. But there were people in Activision that worked in public relations, communications, customer care, and other support services for Destiny 2. They don't have a game to support anymore. Their work's done. There's no Skylanders team for them to go to because Skylanders is gone. Guitar Hero is gone. So there literally is nothing for those people to do. There's a lot of dormant franchises at Activision, like Skylanders, like Guitar Hero. A lot of their developers, like High Moon Studios, they made the Transformers games. They've been supporting Destiny 2. Vicarious Visions, one of the two studios in Skylanders, has been working on Destiny 2. Toys for Bob, the studio that created Skylanders, developed the Spyro the Dragon trilogy that came out in 2018. So I don't know what they're going to be doing. But like a lot of these people were doing Destiny 2, and now that Bungie's on their own, those teams don't have anything to do. And it unfortunately doesn't make business sense to keep people around when you don't have a job for them. Sales estimates are significantly lower for 2019. The pipeline of things that are coming out, it's going down to a trickle. So on the Blizzard side, according to this Polygon article, you're going to see Warcraft 3 Reforged, a remake, World of Warcraft Classic, a revival of the vanilla WoW, and then no new major releases in 2019. It canceled the Hero of the Storm esports effort and moved a number of developers away from the MOBA onto other projects. Also, Blizzard split its publishing into North America and Global Arms. This was a failed experiment, and so they're recombining the publishing from North America and Global, so that means there's redundancies. You got to pick, there were two people that used to do this job. Now it can only be done by one. Which one do you keep? The other one's one of the 800. Sucks. It's terrible. It's a problem Activision Blizzard leadership created over the years, and now rank-and-file employees have paid the price. So this is a failure of leadership. They tried to do something, and it didn't work out. Activision executives, according to this Polygon article, failed to make smart investments that allowed for nimble adjustments along the way instead of seeing the sweeping layoffs that we're now seeing. So, you know, would a union have stopped it? Because, like, a lot of people are like, game developers should have a union. Should unionize. I don't know. It wouldn't have stopped it. What it would have done was the union could have had a counteroffer and used public opinion to leverage public opinion to improve the severance package. Now, that's only for salaried employees. There are a lot of people that are contractors. They're 1099 contractors. They didn't get a severance because they're paid for each hour they work, and that's it. They don't get benefits or anything like that. And like when your contract's done, you're done. Yeah, so there was a chief operating officer, Cottie Johnson, drew a line in the middle of the company's staff, creating two pools. On the earnings call, he said that Activision is reducing certain non-development and administrative-related costs across our business, and they're going to be investing more in development. So they're going to be hiring more programmers and less marketing people. Artists, programmers, animators, sound engineers, and level designers are developers. People who help bring the game to market, like public relations staff, community developers, so that's your social media moderator team, and customer support staff are non-developers. It's a convenient and calculating way to put people in boxes for investors, conveying a shift in resources toward the narrowest definition of game developer and away from what is otherwise considered administrative. It also ignores that the entire operation is necessary to bring games to market and afterwards to get people to spend money on them over and over again. So it's very short-sighted, but investors eat it up. They love it. So, yeah. So basically, poor planning, a failure to adapt to current market conditions and consumer desires, and too much investment in trends like toys to life games, even though Activision kind of invented it. They've left it in a place where it needs to make drastic cuts. So it's it sucks, but like my financial friend at work said, business is about looking forward. And they're like, yes, we did great last year. That's why we hired so many people last year, or had so many people on staff. This year's not looking so great, so we're going to be proactive instead of reactive, because that's a lot better than trying to explain next year why investors didn't get as much money. And unfortunately, the point of a business is to make money. We can sit here and say, oh, they should do it for the love of the game and for art or for my smile and happiness. But bottom line, every business out there is to make money. Like their goal is to make money. No matter what they'll tell you, it's to make money. If you hear us at Vogue Network keep telling you that, you can subscribe and send bits, it's not just because we want to smile and want you to smile. We want to make money. We're not looking to make tons of money. We're not even going to break even. That's fine. But we want to make some. We're going to make some. Just full disclosure on that. So it is their job to make money and to tell the investors how they're going to make money. Fifth Dream Today says, we made the most money. Now let's fire the most people to get more money. It's basically, we made the most money. And if they kept all those people, they would not make the most money next year. So Questbuster says they're actually going to – they talked about expanding development by 20%. So they laid off 800 people, and they're going to hire people. It's just they're redistributing who's going to be doing the work. Now, it's also – the fun thing about development is that there is a thing called too many cooks in the kitchen. And throwing more people at something, especially software, does not necessarily make it come out faster. You don't necessarily get results faster. Actually, it kind of muddies it a little more. And Questbuster says they literally threw Destiny under the bus. The break was amicable, but it was not contributing materially to the business. Apparently, quite a few resources on the Activision side were actually shared with Bungie, and now that's not a factor. They're likely folding those back into other IPs. And so that's what Questbuster said probably before I mentioned that they don't have anywhere to fold them into. And that's why they're being laid off. Like, there's where else are they going to go? Like, it's Call of Duty and what else? Like, I don't think Spyro is big enough to need all the people that Destiny had. As much as I know we have Spyro fans in the chat, I don't think it's a big enough IP. Kaijudo says, Bobby is changing his name to Big Money Bobby. Yes, all the pennies. Give me all the pennies. Give me more of these. Look at these pennies. Give them to me. Questbuster says they were referring to development resources on the call. It sounded like they were going to redistribute whatever those were back to Activision's own projects. That one makes sense because they think throwing more. throwing more monkeys at the problem. They think that that's going to create Shakespeare. And you know what? I've heard that, but you can't put nine women in a room and expect a baby in 1 month. Just saying. Doesn't work that way. I know this, but it's really hard to explain that to a business person. That's fine, because we're going to take a quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hello, this is BMN from Seattle, Washington. You're listening to the only man who cannot win a single game of Tetris, Bobby Blackwolf. Here's Bobby.
I hate you, DMN, and your bumper. Because I haven't won. I've only placed fifth in Battle Royale, Tetris Battle Royale. Yeah. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to insult my Tetris skills. Trust me, that is not something you have to do. All you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. ActDev says, can you win a game of Tetris 99? No, I've gotten fifth out of 99. Never higher. That is it. All you have to do is that. Or if you have a video, you want to do a video bumper. I haven't had any of those. You can contact me at that email address or on Discord. And we can work out a way you can get it sent to me or something. It can be a YouTube link or anything like that. Speaking of Discord, why not? Let's take your calls. So what you're going to want to do, if you want to call in, this is the new way of calling in to Discord. You're going to join the Green Room voice chat channel. That way I can see you. And then you're going to post in the Bobby Blackwolf Show channel what you want to talk about, because now I can screen calls. For the first time in 14 years, I can screen calls. It's going to be great. So what will then happen is that if you're selected, I'm going to actually call you in Discord. So sometimes it doesn't show a notification. You might have to look on the left side under on your server, like where all your servers are listed, and you might see it there. And then that's where I will invite you in. So this is your time to shine. And you get to determine what we talk about here. I did want to mention, because this was said in the music break, about the big news out of Activision. This is from Spyro557 Jonathan. The big news out of Activision this week was that Crash Bandicoot sold 10 million. It's like 10 million copies for just the Reignited trilogy. I guess across all consoles, right? Because it was multi-platform. That's cool. So congrats to them. I mean, there are other good titles that are coming out of Activision and stuff. It's just, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here and what they really concentrate on. I think they also said, like, Call of Duty is going to go back to having a single-player mode. They probably want people back, I guess. So, yeah, new Call of Duty is going to be coming. Of course, I mean, we always get a new Call of Duty. That one's not going away. That one's not going to Guitar Hero away or Skylanders away. New Call of Duty is going back to its root. Spyro557 Jonathan does say it's the insane trilogy on all platforms. So I guess combined sold 10 million. So that's good. Crash Bandicoot, what people thought would be the mascot of the Sony PlayStation, now you can see everywhere. You can play with him everywhere. I actually haven't tried any of the reduns. I haven't tried the Spyro or the Crash remakes. Yeah, Questbuster says Black Ops 4 doesn't have campaign. It's all multiplayer all the time. But they had that, I think, was Black Ops 4 the one that had, oh, God, what was it? So they had their, I guess, blackout mode. I guess that's their Tetris 99 killer, which is going to fail because Tetris 99 is way better. But they said, here's all these skins. You can be all these different people that you remember from previous Black Ops campaign modes. And we're like, they're like, hey, you remember that great Black Ops campaign mode? Yeah. Yeah. You don't get a new Black Ops campaign mode, but you can remember. It's like that webcomic that everybody always, with the dog, that everybody always recaptions and then never, like, links to the source, so I don't even know who writes it, who drew it initially. But it's like, you know, the dog's like, you know, want to play fetch? Or remember when we played fetch and you're like, oh, okay. And then it's like, no fetch, only remember, you know? And so it's like this, like, Remember your single player campaign? No, no, no. Don't play it. Only remember it. Spyro 557 says, Crash and Spyro are so fun. You should try them. I played them when they came, you know, on the PlayStation 1. I think I actually have Spyro 1 on the PlayStation 1, on the original PlayStation. I don't even know if I can say PlayStation 1 anymore. Or PSX. I don't know. But no, I played them then, and they were neat. So I've watched some people stream it. But it's like I barely have time to play Kingdom Hearts 3, which is the last game I played, so I'm kind of not buying other games other than like Tetris 99, which was free. The Reichman says, who wants to bet that he has not bet either? I would bet that I haven't beaten either of those games, and I'd win. I'd win that bet. Kaijudo says, Astrobot's going to be the new Sony mascot. They've been trying, because that's the same bot, like if the Playroom before VR. When the PS4 launched, you had all those little bots, and you could, if you had the camera, you could do a lot of the Playroom stuff, and it was those same little bots. I'm sure they'd love that. The reason everybody thought Crash Bandicoot would be the mascot was because he was edgy, and he was also the one in all the commercials when the first PlayStation came out in the mid-90s, and he was edgy, unlike Mario, which was for kids. So, all right, we do actually have a call coming, so I'm going to make this call right now. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
ActDeft, what's up, man?
Well, I want to talk about Tetris 99.
All right.
They have to play Battle Royale, like
yes.
Apex, Fortnite, PUBG. Nah, those aren't the real Battle Royale. Tetris is.
Yes, this is the Tetris game for all Tetris, or for the Battle Royale game for all Battle Royale games. So what's your opinion on it?
Well, either then it's like a really, really great game, and especially since it's free. I would have paid like even like $10, $15 for it.
Well, you're technically paying $5 a month for it.
Yeah, technically, but still. Other than that, this is probably some of the things the Nintendo Online Service needs, like, really, really badly.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know if you remember, we were talking about on their earnings call, which they talked about their profits and didn't fire 800 people, they actually said, we need to do things to make the Nintendo Online Service something people want to play have for more than just 1 month, and I think this is the first thing.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the things they actually need to do, mm-hmm. because even if we have like stuff like the Nintendo Entertainment Online system and all that stuff, and if they add more stuff to it, mm-hmm. it's not really something that the people probably want. Mm-hmm. Because we have played all those games before, and something like Tetris 99,
yeah,
it's something so new, and even if it's a Battle Royale and it's Tetris, it's something like so innovative, so simple but innovative, mm-hmm. that it's actually like worth paying the service just for that. Mm-hmm. And I have talked about my problems with the Nintendo Switch Online and how I cannot connect to all the games online. I can play Tetris 99 so... like no problems at all. I haven't had any disconnects. I don't have any problems playing online.
Because it's a server that you're connecting to and not somebody else's Switch.
Yes, it's not peer to peer.
Yes.
Finally. Nintendo has to do more stuff like this again. I know I'm repeating myself, but hopefully this is the first step.
Yeah.
For something, for things greater to come.
So what's kind of interesting is that this isn't the first time Nintendo has taken a classic game and put a really neat multiplayer spin on it. Because if you remember Pac-Man Versus, way back when, Pac-Man Versus was the Shigeru Miyamoto version of Pac-Man, where he worked with Bandai Namco, it was just Namco at the time. And they created the online version, or not the online version. It was actually using the Game Boy Advance and GameCube. So you had to use the link cable, but it's where one person is Pac-Man and the other three players are ghosts. And so you're now, like, the three players who were ghosts were looking at the TV at these little tiny, you know, circles and of what they can see. And Pac-Man was just playing the actual Pac-Man game on a Game Boy Advance. So that was actually my favorite party game for the longest time. And it is on Switch. If you get the Namco Museum Collection, Volume 1, they have Pac-Man Versus. You need two Switches to do it, because one Switch is the Pac-Man screen, and it's in tabletop mode, and the other Switch is on the TV. And then it, instead of having to pass controllers around like you had to in the old days, now you just move the screen around. It's actually kind of neat.
Yeah, I haven't actually played that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was actually remembering something like that. And yeah, it's something like really, really simple. Nothing that requires that much, like, don't know, like imagination even. Mm-hmm. But it works so well. It's fun. Many people can play it.
Yep.
And Tetris 99 is also something like that. I was talking about Tetris 99 and how something like so simple, so recognizable like Tetris that probably anyone can play and... Mm-hmm. And not even like, oh, I don't know how to play Tetris. It's something so, like, intuitive.
Yeah.
That you can, if you pass a controller to someone that doesn't play video games at all, mm-hmm. they'll probably know what to do.
Yeah, even it's the, not, it's if not they're Puyo, not Puyo. Skilled. Yeah, it's not,
yeah,
Puyo,
it's not Puyo. Puyo.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, it's also multiplayer Tetris. Everybody has been wanting, you know, has always loved. Because, I mean, me being old... because I'm 29. And back when I was not 29, before I turned 29, there was a game called Tetranet, which was a freeware. I think it was capped at 8 players, but it was like the multiplayer game that a lot of us were playing. And it was a little more than Tetris 99 because you actually like chose what type of attacks you wanted to put to who. And things like that. But, you know, everybody's like, is this the return of Tetranet? And if they can recapture some of that, then they've got something here that people might pay a monthly fee to have access to.
Yeah, hopefully they add more modes. Even like a team mode. I think we were speaking about that on your stream for Tetris 99. Mm-hmm. And even like a team of four versus another four, or probably 50 versus 50, mm-hmm. would be like really something nice
to have. So there are rumors and speculation, which I don't know if they're plausible or not. Data miners have actually found like team modes and stuff like that. So there are other modes coming to Tetris 99, because if you go to the options or the stat screen, and you know how it says all, and then it says Tetris 99, and you're like, why break them up? That's why, because I think they're going to add more modes.
Yeah, it seems like something pretty logical. Mm-hmm. And I hope they add them soon. Even though I love playing like Tetris 99 alone, mm-hmm. and just that, more modes would be like really, really awesome.
It's a game as a service.
Yeah.
It's a service. You didn't pay for the game, but your monthly subscription pays for it, and so that means they can theoretically add more modes.
Something that I would probably like to have the game added is more songs.
Yeah.
Because even though the Tetris theme is like so iconic and it's not bad in this game, but it gets repetitive after a while.
Well, that's why you just got to get to the top 10 and then it's Fly to the Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah, that I know. I have actually won a game, so... Yeah.
Dark Tetsuya does say the title screen references new modes, the copyright screen. So it references new modes that aren't in there yet. So they're coming. I just don't know when they're coming.
Hopefully soon. Yep. Hopefully soon.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, that's the call that we have right here. So that was the call for this week. Thank you so much for calling in. So coming up next... here on the Voice Geeks Network is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They like to talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them to see what Battle Royale game they're playing. So, Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So, Battle Royale, are we all on board with the Battle Royale train now?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that they were able to expand the idea beyond just kill, kill, die, die type of games. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if Tetris is still a little bit of a kill, kill, die, die game. Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because you kind of made a subtle reference to it, too. And Loki had said something when he came in the studio, too, about how it's like 1 versus 100, but not. Mm-hmm. So in a way, we had a Battle Royale game a long time ago. Yes. It's just, you know, it was a trivia Battle Royale game. And it's,
with thousands.
Sadly, I know. Sadly, hashtag gone too soon. But maybe all this crazy fever stuff might
trivia murder back. Party battle royale.
Why not? Ooh, I hope Jackbox is looking at how they can steal the battle royale idea. And I think a lot of those guys go back to the old Berkeley Systems days when they had things like Acrophobia and the pyramid game that they had. I mean, these are really old games. No, not the game show. It was a different game.
I know.
But anyway. It would be amazing if they brought those back. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see their take on it. And I was thinking, saying HQ, that app, you know, a lot of people I think are aware of that. It's kind of like a trivia, but I don't know. It's not the same. I don't think HQ is it's maybe it has to do with the really cheesy host. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but I mean, and we know Jackbox has the infrastructure because they've got the audience thing and they can handle hundreds of people on Twitch.
Sure. In fact, they would have probably argued that many of their games already you can play hundreds of players on. They're just probably not, you know, they're spread a little thin, I suppose. You can't just join any game. That's the other thing about Jackbox is that you have to join the game that you know the code for, which you can get the code if you're watching a live streamer or something. So, I mean, there are ways to do it. But, it's set up a little bit differently. But obviously we're big fans of Jackbox here at OLR, not just because they've come on the show.
I'm a big fan, too, even though they've never come on my show. But I'm not big.
All I have to do is ask. I'm sure they would.
I know. One day. Everybody's like Battle Royale, and I'm like, what?
Inevitably, there will be another party pack for them to promote. A DDR Battle Royale, I don't know.
They sort of have that, I think, in Stepmania. There's an actual, I don't know. It's been so long since I've played Stepmania, but they have an online mode for Stepmania, and you can do, like, multiplayer, and I don't know.
I mean, but let's be real, guys. Even though I know we've drawn an audience of folks that were really into Bomani games back in the day, that's a really niche thing you're talking about. And, you know, to run a successful Battle Royale game, you have to be able to pull 100 people at any time. You know, if you don't have the player pool...
Just Dance Battle Royale.
You're going to be waiting a long time for players. So it'll be interesting to see how long the gas in Tetris 99 keeps going. But it looks like it's a worldwide connection, which I'm sure helps, because I've seen certainly plenty of names in Japanese that are popping up in my games.
They're the ones that always kill me.
Yeah, sometimes.
So, I'm finally glad I get to play a Battle Royale game, because I was like, I'm not into these shooters.
I tried Fortnite. I got through the demo in Apex Legends. I'm hoping those rumors and plausibility in Apex Legends of a solo and duo mode, I'm really hoping those are true.
Mm-hmm. Need a Mario Kart Battle Royale.
No. Or a Mario Maker Battle Royale. Wouldn't that be fun?
Hey, Mario Maker 2 is coming out.
But at the same time, weren't we the same audience that was kind of complaining about Battle Royale, all the things, just in this last year? So
that's because a lot of the Battle Royale things that they're doing are pretty lazy, and it's all the same stuff. Whereas this is different.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, we were like, oh, everything's an MMO or everything's, you know, and then like what Puzzle Quest came out and we're like, oh, this is great.
Quest is great.
Yeah. But it's different than everything else where we're always tired of, you know, people taking the same formula and just putting their characters in it. So it's another shooter or it's another fantasy online experience.
It's nice to see stuff that isn't kind of like in that same cookie cutter, although you kind of say fantasy and it's like, well, MMORPGs, that's been there.
Yeah, it's like adding RPG elements to Solitaire.
I think that's on the list tonight, isn't it? So yeah,
I'd play it. I'd play an MMO Solitaire. There you go. I don't know how it
works. I think the Battle Royale-esque mode is just it's best as like a mode in another game, I think, for other types of things that are looking to add it on. I think Tetris 99 gets away with it because we've seen Tetris in many sorts of other ways.
And it's free.
It definitely helps. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, it's a very good yin and yang with Tetris effect, because obviously Tetris 99 is very bare bones in its presentation and style. There's not a lot of frills and bells and whistles to it, whereas Tetris Effect is all about that. But then on the flip side, Tetris Effect has no multiplayer, so here is your mega multiplayer. So they make them nice yin and yang to each other.
Katamari Royale.
That would be fun. I don't know how that would work. Would you roll up your competition?
Yes.
I suppose you could.
You'd have to get big enough. Yeah.
They have something, the knockoff, like Katamari thing has, I think, something like it, because it's like all those IO games where they have, you know, like Snake IO where you go and, or Slither IO where you go and, you know, gather things and become bigger and you try to take down, you know, smaller things. They've got something, though, like that is like Katamari, but it's not Katamari. It's something else.
I was going to save me being here as a surprise, but I'll go ahead and do it right now.
Hey, who are you?
What about Konmari Damashi?
What are you doing in my house?
Who taught Mr. Smush how to talk?
Ow! Ow! What, no, what about Konmari Damashi?
What would that be like?
Marie Kondo.
Oh, God. I need that in this place outside of what you can see on the camera.
Where you have to collect the things that don't make you feel joy. And for the record, everybody, it's not Marie. It's Marie.
You would be very proud of me because we had that in a bumper. You know, our little... So we had Marie Kondo cleans my inventory. And when I did the first take, I said Marie Kondo. And I was like, that can't be right.
You were absolutely correct.
I am saying this. So I went and looked up an interview to see the correct pronunciation.
Did you not see like my big post about me like complaining about people mispronouncing her name?
Facebook.
Zuckerberg sometimes doesn't want you to see that. It does not bring Zuckerberg joy.
I can't say it on your show, sorry.
Family friendly.
You've displeased the algorithm.
So what will please the algorithm tonight on OLR?
Battle Royale, see my Facebook post. That'll.
I don't know. Whatever it is, it's got to be original and educational, because as long as it's not repetitive.
My algorithm requires chocolate.
Let me try to think of some topics you haven't covered, because obviously you touched on some of the big things. We'll do a deep dive on the Nintendo Direct tonight, talk a little bit about some of the things. A very big remake of an old game that you haven't touched on, I don't think, but I was out of the room for a little bit. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about a Pokemon Go settlement in that game that could be very interesting for the future of that game. So we'll talk a little bit about that and go dig through. If you're going to Marie Kondo your whole house, it might be time to see if maybe you have a very rare copy of a game that you could sell for $100,000, just like somebody did this past
week. A very rare copy of a very common game?
Yes, exactly.
This one doesn't have the sticker on it. Oh, well.
That's right. That's the key difference.
I can make a sticker. I have Photoshop.
Sweet.
I need printers.
Awesome. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So you can catch us live, interact with the shows directly. Or you can leave me a voicemail or a topic for any bumper for use on the show. All you got to do is email me an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Or you can send me a link to a video. Or if you want to talk about something, you can go to the VogNetwork.com, go to the episode page, or in our Discord over at VogNetwork.com/Discord. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackwolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackwolf, and Twitch.tv/BobbyBlackwolf. That's where I am. Or you can submit feedback over at VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So I'm going to read some of these chatters. It's resub time, because now that we've been Twitch affiliates for over a month, a lot of the resubs are coming in. So thank you so much for resubscribing. Fifth Dream Today, Johnny Wufi, Tiger Claw, and VG Realness, who is back again. Fifth Dream Today says 2 months. That's almost 8 weeks. Amazing. And then also we have a whole bunch of people that are hosting the stream. And so I'm going to try to read who's hosting us right now. if it will let me. So thank you so much for all these Twitch TV people who are hosting us on their personal channels. Travis Donovan, Johnny Woo 5, Fifth Dream Today, Veronica Isabel, Collision 28, AJ Twist, Act Def, Critical Myth, Rob Roberts, Tiger Claw, Hitstun, Bull 7708, Orange Wright, Dark Titsia, Anime Jam Session, and then it refreshed, so I think I missed one. And I don't know who I missed. I don't know who it took out, but somebody else was hosting, so thank you so much. Twitch refreshes the screen on me. So now it is time for OLR is going to be coming up next, and I'm going to be out of here probably playing some Battle Royale. I don't know. We'll figure it out. And I will see you guys next week. Maybe I'll get higher than fifth. I won't get higher than fifth. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.